For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Apparently the guys were doing push-ups out here. That's very interesting. But give it up for Tom. He does a great job with the announcements. He brings them to life. I always, more than just sharing the lesson for tonight, I love sharing the how God got us here. And with this one, it's been a busy week, busy week at the church. We're working on a lot of cool things for the Mighty Men coming up. There's gonna be a lot going down. So in this busyness, I haven't had the same alone time. Is this my mic? Hold tight, you guys. I'm going to do a switch. It's going to be different. Check. It's going to be different. I'm a hand talker. But in this time of busyness, my alone time with God went down a notch, and I was talking to God about, I'm going to make room for you, God. I promise. And I kept promising God that I'm going to make some time for him and kept not making that time. And in him teaching me why it's so important to spend time with him, he gave me the lesson of today of how much we gain. Not he gains. He doesn't need us quite like that. How much we gain from setting time aside and spending it with God, that appointed time, not where you're at right now, not church time. It is part of it. But I mean personal time to get to know the Father, the Savior of your life. And he spoke to me a lot. So I have something good for you guys. I want to pray because you guys know I am nothing without him. So let's get that Holy Spirit in here and let's move. Let's learn tonight and let's walk out of here different, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you. I have full faith in what you've given me, Father. So just all I ask is that you remove my thoughts and deliver properly how you spoke to me today, Father. Speak to us all. Speak to all of our hearts, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want to learn and be more like you. In Jesus' name, everyone said? You see, when I asked God about spending more time with him, I was praying for God to make a way for me to spend more time with him. Has anyone ever prayed that? Has anyone ever prayed, God, make a way for me to spend more time with you? This is what he responded to me. I'm going to let you know how harsh God is with me sometimes. He's harsh. He goes, you make time for me. Then during that time, you pray that I take care of the rest of that stuff that you're doing. You make time first. Don't pray to him to make that time for you, because you'll sit back and get lazy like myself. I promise you, you won't make that time. You initially make that time and start talking to God and trust that he will take you the rest of the way, that he'll take care of what all the chores and all the things that you have on your to-do list for that day. But I find it hard to trust that God can take care of those things sometimes. I'm like, I have the kids, I have these bills, I have these things. We all know the daily struggle. Like, hey, I know God's real, but how can he take care of that if I'm over here kumbayaing for him, right? I know we have that thought, right? We all do. And it took me to a story that I've shared with the youth often. I'm sure a lot of people have heard this story, but if you haven't, it's one you need to hear to build your faith. It's a real cool story about the great Blondine. If you've heard of him, it's cool. If you haven't heard of it, don't ruin it for anyone else. So the great Blondine, he was an acrobat, a tightrope walker from the 1800s. He saw a circus when he was a youngster, when he was about, I think it says he was like 6 or 7. He saw a circus and fell in love with the acrobatics. So then he got put into like gymnastic classes and he became very known for his ability to do the tightrope walking, right? Till one day the circus visits the Niagara Falls. He stands there, looks at the Niagara Falls, and decides that he wants to be the first person ever in history to tightrope walk across the Niagara Falls. Now, us living today in 2021, we've seen people do flips, everything over Niagara Falls on TV and stuff. But in the 1800s, this was unheard of, that no one had ever seen anything like this take place. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. So he builds this rope. He builds it across the Niagara Falls, and he goes and he sells tickets for 25 cents. It's an amazing ticket to see someone do this, right? 25 cents, amazing. He sells those tickets. All these people come around to what? Watch Blondine fall. That's what they think is going to happen. They think you don't come to see him do it. You come to see if something crazy goes down, right? But all these people show up, and a big part of his saying, he would get on top of the tightrope walk and go, "Do you believe? Do you believe?" And on his very first show, it's told that most people were quiet. It was 10% of the crowd that cheered and said, yeah. Everyone else was naturally nervous for the Great Blondine, is what they call him, because his hair was blonde. He then continues to tightrope walk across the Niagara Falls. He gets across, and then he does it backwards, you guys. He's a real showman. Then he continues to sell tickets throughout days. He ends up doing flips on this. He ends up doing it on stilts, and this is the one that made me have to research so hard for you guys to make sure this was a true story, because this is the craziest part in this story. He goes across with this little stove, and he cooks an omelet in the middle of the Niagara Falls on the tightrope walk. Not only does he cook the omelet, he lowers it down to the people on a boat, and they taste it and eat it, say it's good, and he finishes and walks across the tightrope walk over Niagara Falls. He then takes a wheelbarrow, puts it on, and if you ever done some of that yard work, you know a wheelbarrow is kind of, it can turn on you. He takes it, walks across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope with a wheelbarrow, gets all the way across, and what does he do at the beginning? He says, "Do you believe?" And at this point, they've seen him do the stilts. They've seen him do the omelet. So the whole crowd, yes, we believe. He goes across all the way, then goes across backwards. Doesn't fall. The man is still alive. Don't know how, right? Then he gets to his big show. He's standing in front of the crowd, and he looks at everyone, and he goes, "It's the Great Blondini. Do you believe that I can do this?" And they go, "Yeah." He goes, he pulls out his wheelbarrow again. He's going to take his wheelbarrow across. And he goes, "Do you still believe?" They go, "Yes." And he goes, "Well, I need a volunteer to get in this wheelbarrow." The crowd goes silent. True story. The crowd goes silent. He goes, "I need a volunteer. You said you believe. I need a volunteer." A small voice says, "I believe." The man gets up, gets in the wheelbarrow. The Great Blondine takes him all the way across. It is told that the man that said yes was his manager. His manager, who had helped him sell the tickets, who had walked with him all those who was at every single show and watched and saw what the Great Blondine had done time after time after time again. He was the only one, because he spent that time with him, the only one that had the true faith to believe to get out of the stands and jump in to the wheelbarrow and go across with him. And he has an amazing story to tell. When you look up these videos about it, you hear the grandkids of both the manager and the Great Blondine saying of what an amazing story it is. The great, great, great grandkids of these stories. And it's all because one had true faith. And that brings me to my sermon title, "It's About Time." Spending time with God will build trust in him. You see, I saw that Great Blondine story and instantly connected it to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ came, did something the world has never seen before. He erased all your sins. He made it possible for you to talk directly to God. Jesus Christ did wonderful miracles, millions of things. We come to church, we go to Bible studies, and we chant and we rave that we believe. We believe in everything that Jesus Christ has said he could do. He healed the blind. He healed the sick. He performed miracles. We say we believe. And then when it's our turn to jump in the wheelbarrow, we stand back. We cannot. It's time now. It's time now to get skin in the game. What does that look like? What does that actually look like? For one, big ways. Your community immediately around you. Your community immediately around you, your home, your school, your workplace, they should know that you walk with Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this again. If you're a believer, if you are a believer, your coworkers, your neighbors, your schoolmates should know that you walk with Jesus Christ. That's you putting some skin in the game. You walking out there and saying you're in it with them. But another important part, you guys, church is back. Church is back. Kids are back. I still have the honor of being part of the youth, the great kids ministries all the way up to high school ministry. If you're a volunteer in here, you can attest. We need your help, church. We need your help. It's time to put some skin in the game. It's time to get in the wheelbarrow and help your church out. You are being called. You are being called. This place won't grow if we don't have the workers and the laborers to do so. You see, I heard this calling many a times. And God showed me that this is my excuse. I'm telling you guys, I'm going to tell you a lot of times throughout tonight, I'm preaching to myself. A lot of times, my excuse, when God tells me to do something, I don't have the time. God, I don't have, how can I do another ministry? I don't have the time. God, how can I help out at the church when I still got this going on at my house? I don't have the time. God, how can I help out at the church when my bills aren't even getting paid right now? I have to spend more time finding another job. I don't have the time. This, I'm not calling you guys out. I'm calling myself out. As a busy pastor doing a lot of work for the church, I tell God way too often I don't have the time. And I will not anymore not have the time for something God's calling me to do. You see, I've learned that it's hard to decipher that, though. It's hard to decipher, is this what God's calling me to do, or is this what God's calling me to do, right? Everyone, it's not the easiest thing in the world to hear God's voice. Praise the Lord, we have Pastor Ron who can hear him amazingly. We're trying to get there. But it's hard to decipher. But I've learned God makes it easy. You have to step out of all your worry, all your frustration, all your doubt. You have to step out of that, step into his presence, and he will reveal to you which way, which things he wants you to focus on, which way he wants you to go. It's amazing how easy it is and how hard we make it. I want you guys to look at this verse because I don't think it's just me that our excuse is we don't have time. I think it's a pretty common excuse, but you know what we don't have a lot of? Is the time to do what God has called us to do. He's not worried about our worldly problems. He wants us to accomplish what you were uniquely made for. You were uniquely made to do something for the kingdom, right? If you don't believe that, you need to. Jeremiah 29:11, he has a plan and a purpose for you. That's what we have to start thinking about is today, is what I'm doing today, is how I'm acting today, is how I'm waking up today according to my plan and purpose that God has for me. And when we start doing that, you guys, it's going to change the world. Listen to this verse about how much time we have and what one of the wise people in the Bible said about time. Psalms 90:10-12. I can read it from here. Our days may come to 70 years, may only come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures, yet best of them are but trouble and sorrow. A lot of people can relate to that. A lot of people can relate to that. For they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. You see, I'll finish it. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Big question, are your days numbered? Do you understand? Do you take control of each day and try to make it a positive day in the Lord's sight? Not our own. A positive day in the Lord's sight. Sometimes we see that as way confusing and way too much work that we have to do when it's really simple tasks that God gives us to please him daily. He knows your struggle. Trust me when I say God knows your struggle. There's a verse, I didn't give this to you guys, that says our life is but a vapor. It's James 4:4. It says this, yet you do not know what life will be like tomorrow. For your life is but a vapor. It is here for a little while, then it vanishes. And it's not to scare you. It's not to scare you that life is coming to an end. No, it's to give you life. It's to let you know that your life, I've seen a pastor do it. He sprayed. He said, this is what a vapor is. And he took a spray bottle and sprayed it. He said, that's your life according to God's timing. It's that quick. Just a little spray. That's how much time you have to accomplish what God wants to do through you. Too many times in my life, I did not jump in. I just called you guys and asked you guys to help in the nursery, preschool, elementary, junior high, high school ministries, parking lot ministries. I'm asking you guys to get involved to grow this church. But in doing so, I have to tell you where I have stumbled. I have said, dang it, I'm still drinking. Not going to get involved. That's back when I was still struggling. I was half in, half out. I've told myself, I'm not praying every day like the pastor I've been hearing preaching. I shouldn't get involved. I told myself, I can't speak. I can't sing. I can't dance like these people. I shouldn't get involved. I told myself that I wasn't relevant to anyone in the youth. Why would they want to listen to me? So I didn't want to get involved. Anyone who's ever got involved will be shaking their heads. I'm watching them because they know the feeling. The devil doesn't want you to serve God's kingdom. It's time to overthrow that and step into what you're supposed to be. The laborers are few, but we believe through prayer we can build up a team that takes over Bakersfield. I really do believe that. I believe that we can get this church thriving, you guys, and that's part of my goal through prayer with you guys. I found this fun fact about our lives and about time. I wanted to know how much of our time we spent sleeping. Does anyone know this? Has anyone ever looked this up? This is crazy. I found this out about my own life. The national sleeping average first is 7 hours a day. Now, I have kids and know that is a lie, but I know some of you guys can attest to that. But your average is 7 hours a day. If you do that every day, it comes up to 2,555 hours, which is equivalent to about 104 days. So in a year, you have slept 3 months. Say this again. In a year, you have slept for 3 months. In 4 years, if you continue on the same cycle, you will have slept 12 months. So me at 33 years old, I've slept just over 8 years of my life. That is depressing. As it gets. I don't say that to depress you guys. I say that to say how true and real the Bible is, you guys, when it says life is but a vapor. Because this is what it's not added in. The time we spend on entertainment, the time we spend eating, the time we spend just relaxing. You guys, the time is short. And the time is now to start doing God's work. You don't want to be the person who looks back and goes, what could I have done for God's kingdom? Psalms 31, 14 through 15 says this. But I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. I'll explain where that's coming from. David is hiding from his enemies at this time. He's hiding. And he's putting his trust completely in the Lord. See, what I got out of this, and we're going to go into the full story of this, of him hiding in the cave and deciding to write this. What I got out of this is that this is a time to panic. This is a time for me, like a competitive person, you got your enemy coming your way, coming to get you, knowing this man was coming to kill him. See, I would be setting up my fortress, calling my friends, say, hey, guard my backside, get here, setting up something to try to protect myself. And that is the common struggle that we do as people. When it gets hard, when it gets scary, when it feels like the world is caving in on us, we start trying to put up our fences and putting up our offense or our defense, whatever type of person you are, to combat the problems that are coming our way. David, a man who is considered to be after God's own heart himself, what does he do? He gets away. He's almost like, I did a whole thing on him being like a bipolar person. He, in his worst and most panicked moments, he goes to the Lord and prays his way through it, prays his way out of it, reminds himself, self-encourages himself, says, God, you are my Lord. I'm putting my trust in you. I know my enemies will surround me, but you will protect me. You will be here for me. He runs to God. And that's why he ends up being accredited, who you guys know as King David. It takes that type of faith. It takes that type of time with God. If you're going through something right now, no matter what it is, your response is to get with God. See, have you ever been in a situation that you know you can't get out of? It's caving in. it is crashing down on you. That is when you need God the most. One of the things I pride myself on in these days, it drives some people nuts, but I've never dug myself into a hole I can't pray myself out of. You'll hear me say that all the time because I make so many mistakes. I make a lot of people mad. I let a lot of people down. But I will pray that your heart forgives me. I'll pray that God corrects my mistake. I'll share a story about even Hume Lake this year, you guys. This shows that God is with us. God is powerful. It was my first year without an assistant, and I guess when I sent off our junior high Hume Lake papers, I was one day late. So they wanted to put us on waiting list for spots. And I'm like, oh no, we're gonna probably not go to Hume. We had secondary plans, we did a lot of things, but I remember walking into Christina's office and going, hey, if God wants us to go, we're gonna go, and nothing can stop it. We're going. Hume Lake still hasn't called. I'm like, well, I guess we're not going. I guess God didn't want us to go. But I knew if we're supposed to be there, we're going to be there. So what happens finally about 2.5 weeks ago, we get a call. Hume Lake says, we have your spots, all your spots for junior high. You guys are going. And I just sit back and look. And this is where I saw God in it. I've had waiting list spots to get like extra spots every year since I've been here at Valley Bible Fellowship, trying to get more spots from that waiting list. Never once have I got a spot. Never once. They always just say, we're giving you the spots you have. This year we get our whole request in waiting list spots. That's why I know that despite my failures, God will prevail. And I say that as it's my shortcomings, you guys, that God's able to work through. The people who work with me closest will know these things. God is so real, so big, and if he can do it for me, he wants to do it for you. You just have to set aside that time so he can tell you what that purpose is. He needs to tell you so you can step up in the church and help us. Come on, somebody. Moving on to the story that basically prompted this for me, Luke 10, 38 through 41. God bless you, someone over there. And Jesus said to his disciples who were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. You guys should be familiar with what story this is going to. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. I'm going to continue it on. I might not have given them that verse, but I finished it here. You are worried about many things, but she has chosen which is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So he accredits his sister with choosing what is the right thing to do, which was sit at the Lord's feet. Now, there's some things I want to break down within this story. There's a lot of culture in this story. You see, back in these times, of course, the women were supposed to be busy. They're supposed to be busy. What? Busy in the kitchen, right? So not saying that in the bad way. I'm saying that's what the verse says. They are to be busy in the home, busy in the workplace. They're supposed to be examples by working and being busy. That's what a biblical, correct woman would be doing, right? So you see her trying to please the Lord. She's not wrong. That's what culture tells her to do. You get not only a normal man, but Jesus Christ himself is in your household. Get it together. Do what you got to do. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's this. Make sure it's that. And what does Jesus do? He breaks culture immediately. Immediately does a countercultural thing and says, her, sitting at my feet, this is correct. Because you can do all these things, but if you miss that I am your Savior, if you miss it, it means absolutely nothing. If you miss that Jesus Christ is the source of all the good works that we are supposed to do, you're going to miss the mark. Look at these verses. ESV for me, please. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we know his workmanship created in Christ for good work. For we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand. God prepared beforehand, when he created you, He created you uniquely to accomplish something for the kingdom. I was talking with the children's pastor, Evan, about how so often within the church, we look up to certain people, we look up to certain talents, and we try to carry our walks like them. And what we are supposed to do is not just totally duplicate those leaders that we look up to, but we are supposed to take the qualities of Christ that they show and use those things to do our own walk, to create our own lane, because he created you for something that I could never do. But something that I think every pastor across America agrees with, God did not create you to sit here and listen to me talk. I promise you. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. He created you to help someone find Christ. He created you to help build the kingdom. He created you because he loves you and wants to use you and see you and be with you for eternity. That's why he created you. And it's not to sit in a pew, and we have to start getting past that. We have to start getting involved and getting plugged in so we can be used in the kingdom. Know why? It's not even just for his kingdom. God is not a selfish God. He's only selfish when it comes to his love for your love for him. It's for you. You see, what I learned when I told myself I don't have the time, I can't start serving more. When I told myself I'm unworthy, I can't plug myself in. I decided finally to dive in. I remind you of the time that our ex-college pastor told me, said, hey, I want you to hand out those flyers for the college kids. I had just came off the club partying. And I finally stepped in and got to stand outside right here after being a filthy sinner. Literally the weekend before, I was a filthy, filthy sinner. Like, if anyone was walking in this church and saw me, I probably lost some members, Pastor Ron, sorry, because they would have came and said this is a hypocritical church because I had just left the club and I was asked to hand out some flyers. But in doing that, in feeling that conviction, and feeling like, I can't be out on the weekend if I want to be here and serve the Lord. And feeling that and having that accountability of serving Christ, that's what helped me stop. You see, you have to take a leap of faith. You have to go, all right, I'm far from perfect. I'm far from what's considered a volunteer, but I'm going to choose today. I'm going to choose today to try to change that. I'm going to choose today to accept Christ. I'm going to choose today to start spending more time with him so I can fight and be something and do something for the kingdom. James 2, 14 through 20. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body. What good is that? Stop right there because go back. That's a verse we all need to see and hear. So often we do this. Now, not as blunt as seeing a person who's hungry or in need and just saying, go have a full stomach in the name of Jesus and walking away. Is that going to feed that man? I know man doesn't live off bread alone, but come on, somebody. Works will not get you saved, will not get you into heaven. But spending time with God will produce these works. You see, it's different. You don't have to do them to spend time with God. But if you spend time with God, the natural reaction is you start doing good works. So if you're lacking in good works, if you're lacking in loving people the way you should or loving people the way you used to maybe, if you're lacking in that, guess what? You're lacking in time with God. That's the root of the problem. Because there's nothing in time with God, nothing comes but love. You're spending time with love. So when you feel that love and get to receive that love and receive God's grace, receive God's mercy, there's no other reaction but to pour it out. The breakthrough I had with my volunteers in the youth, because most people that worked with me in youth, know that I was the biggest stickler that it gets. If you had the slightest ounce or glimpse of sin in your life, you were dead to me. Not correct. Not how to do it. Not how to work with people. Not how to walk with people through grace. And then I needed grace myself. I fell. And I was like, God, it's over. God, it's over. I can't believe I let you down. And I went back to the Lord, and he comforted me. And he said, this is what I called you out of. You will never go back to the darkness. You, when you sealed yourself that day, you were saved forever. And he showed me this love and this grace and this mercy. And that time back then when I experienced God's grace and mercy, it single-handedly transformed how I handle volunteers when they come to me with a struggle. Single-handedly changed my whole thought process. What does the Bible say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We haven't reached anything, people. God is still right now renewing our minds to make us more loving, more forgiving, more caring, more accepting, so people will want to be a part of God's kingdom. Please, I'm going to give you a challenge at the end of this lesson. Spend some time with God. Don't worry about you got to get to your car. Don't worry about I have this to do, that to do. Spend time with God at the end of this service. I'll tell you how. Don't you worry. I got to get through a couple more things. Bear with me. In Romans, pull up my Romans verse. I think it's Romans 13. Look at this one. And do this, understanding that that the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, debauchery, and not through dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's spend your time. Clothe yourself with him. Fill yourself with him. Ask God in the morning in that alone time to clothe yourself, not with the best and the greatest outfit, but clothe yourself in humility in Christ so you can walk in that love. So when people see you, they recognize Jesus Christ in you. We did a devotion not too long ago that the signature of a Christian is not wearing a shirt with a cross on it. It's not having the tattoos that say, I love Jesus Christ. It's not wearing the wristbands. It's do you walk in love? If you walk in love, people will understand that you have Christ with you. Walking in that love. And you see, I'm a competitive person. Very, very competitive. And there's this thing that I learned, get ready, taboo. I learned something from the devil. Uh-oh, Pastor Ron's mad right now. Revelations 12:12, and I'll tell you this right, I'll explain right now. Revelations 12:12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows his time is short. Leave that up. You see, end times, devil panics. He knows the end. He knows that he's about to lose the battle of mankind. He knows that he can't win anyone who's confessed and believed that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. He knows this. So as end times approach, he panics and he's active. And what is the sign of the enemy? It's a wrath. It's a fury. It's an evil. So what does he do? He's filled with it. He's filled with his hate because he knows the time is short. If you guys have listened to these verses, you understand that your time is short here to accomplish what God has called you to do. You should be burning with love, burning with the desire to do what God has called you to do. If he is getting ready and ramping up and stepping up his abilities, me as a competitive person goes, dang, it's time for me to wake up and pick it up to a whole different notch of trying to win souls for God's kingdom. We have to have a competitive response to what the enemy is doing. See, it says his weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. And he's going. He's building all this fury, building all this hate, building all this disunity in our world. And we are who's being called. We are who's being called to rise up. You guys are being called to rise up and set a new standard against the evil that's trying to take over this world. It's not going to happen. But it takes you guys taking that step of faith. It takes getting into that wheelbarrow. I'm going to end with the beginning of that Psalms verse. We're going to go through it and talk about King David and how strong he is in going to the Lord in his worst time. So if you guys can look at this, and I'll let you guys out of here. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and you knew the anguish of my soul. I'm going to stop there. Go back. You need to read, understand this. If this is you, cry it out to God. He sees your affliction and the anguish of your soul. I was at that point when I was a drug addicted addict, just waking up to a bottle, trying to hide it by my bedside so my parents wouldn't see it. It was anguish of the heart, hurting, in need of something, in need of someone. And God called me to talk to him. I got saved alone. I got saved in a room with just God ministering to me directly. And he wants to talk to you like this. He wants to get you out of that anguish. If you came in here, I've been talking to the believers a lot. But if you came in here and you're not a believer and you're going through this hurt, you're going through this pain, Jesus came to set you free of that. Jesus came to be your hope in that. This is what David is experiencing. He's running from death. Death is chasing him. The person who wants to overtake him is chasing him down to kill him. And he cries out to the Lord, knowing that God sees him where he is at, knowing that that hand would not be laid on him because he walks with God. If you're going through anguish, pain, hurt, sorrow, if you're going through that right now, you give your life to Christ. It can't hold you down. You beat it right there. You beat it right there. You give your life to Christ, and he will take over. And now when you go through these times of anger, of bitterness, of anguish, when you go through these times of hurt, you now have a friend called Jesus Christ. You now have a Holy Spirit called a helper, and you have the God of the universe in your corner. And that's what the believers in this room right now can testify to. They haven't got it together. All their hurt, all their pain isn't gone, but Jesus is right there beside them, right there. And that's why they keep coming. Let's continue what King David did. Next verse. You have not given me into the hands of my enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. My soul and body grieve. I know a lot of people have felt like this. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction and my bones grow weak. Have you ever hurt that bad? I know you. It's not just him alone. You felt this. You felt this distant. You felt this alone. Continue on. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and the object of dread to my closest friend. Those who see me on the streets flee from me. He became an outcast to everyone. I am forgotten as though I was dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering. Terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. He understood exactly where he was. But I trust in you. Lord, I say you are my God. Continue. He ends it with this. My times are in your hand. The good, the bad. My times are in your hand. He understood what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's appointed time for everything. There's a time for pain, time for sorrow, time for joy, time for peace, time for dancing, time for sorrow. There's a time for all. There's a time for planting, a time for uprooting. There's a time for everything. And he understood this. And in his lowest moment, when they were coming to destroy and kill this man, he said, God, my time is in your hand. He sat there and he knew a hand couldn't be laid on him till God said it was time. I titled this, It's About Time. For one, because the sermon is about time, pretty simple. But two, it's about time that the church rise up and we step into all these ministries and they no longer lack enough leaders per kid. They no longer have to look for someone with certain giftings. That you guys are coming to us looking to serve. I tell you right now, as a youth pastor, I'm an advocate for the kids. They need you. Mothers, they need you to look at you and see what it's like to be a real mother because their homes don't have one. Fathers, they need you to see what a real father does in spending time with their kids and being there for their kids. They need you. If you're that, they need you to see it because some of them haven't seen their fathers in years. They need you. Take time after this sermon today. If you've never done it, pray to God. I'm asking you to do this. Don't leave your seat. If you need to talk to God and spend some alone time, when I say amen right now and pray out, stay in your seat and pray. Pray to yourself. Pray to God. You don't have to do it out loud. You don't have to get embarrassed. Pray. If you're watching from home, don't say you're going to do it later. Don't say you're going to do it at a different time, because I've been there and done that. The devil is tricky. He'll come in, distract, and destroy. Even if you are with your wife today or your husband and you're saying, we'll pray when we get in the car, don't do it. You do it now. You do it between you and yourself. You talk to God and get your heart right. Get your heart right now. If you just need to tell him about something you're struggling with, tell him about it. If you need to ask him, should I get involved? Ask him. Spend some time with him. Don't get out of your seat. Just pray. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 1 minute. Everyone else, this is not a call to everyone. You can get up and walk out. But I just know, I wish when I was struggling and talking to God and taking my thoughts to God, I wish someone would have challenged me. Just sit there and talk to him. Like, you don't have to feel pressure to get out of here. Sit there and talk to him. Because you'll do it here. As soon as you get out here, there's a whole world waiting for you of problems, of bills, of frustrations, of life struggles. They're waiting for you as soon as you walk out this door. But that's why God created this sanctuary. That's why God created his covering. That's why God created the helper and the Holy Spirit, that we can pray directly to the God of the universe that knows the numbers of hairs on your head. You can speak to him before you leave. If you need help in praying to God, there are some prayer warriors that will be up here that can pray for you. But I do challenge you today. Talk to him before you leave. And the second challenge, get involved in a ministry. There's too many of them here at VBF. Enough sitting on the sidelines. Get plugged into a ministry. You can grab information cards from the back of your seat. You can go to the hub and tell them which one you're interested in. If junior high or children's ministry at all, you can come to me directly. I'll go back, put my mic in, and I'll be right back down here after. But church, we can't come just sit. We got to talk to the Lord and figure out what it is we're going to do to shake Bakersfield completely, because Valley Bible Fellowship is called to be a leader in doing so. No, I love our church. We're so many misfits that God's going to use mightily. We are the disciples, you guys. They use poor language. They weren't the cleanest. They were wild. And God said, I'm going to use them to change the world. We're reading about them still. That's us. Crazy. If you guys knew who I am getting to talk to you, God is real. Man, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you that you would call sinners like us to be in your kingdom, to spend eternity with. But right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict, that you tug on the hearts of anyone who is supposed to step into their calling today, that's supposed to get involved in a ministry, that's supposed to speak up, that you convict anyone that's supposed to just sit and spend some time with you, that you not allow them to get out of their seat. And everyone else, God, let them feel free. Let them feel the freedom that you give us through Christ, God, to know that they love you and walk out of here without shame. That's not what we're here for, Father. We're here to grow in you, Father. So I pray and I believe, I pray and believe that we're going to jump into that wheelbarrow today and we're going to get involved in our church. I pray and believe that people are going to pray to you tonight because we have a new faith. We have a new belief that we can change some things, Father. I pray and believe that Bakersfield will change starting through VBF, and when we continue to pursue you. We thank you. We thank you for our head, Pastor Ron, for teaching us these things. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.